With George W. Bush's popularity at an all-time low, the last thing he seems to need is a biopic by Oliver Stone. The ads picture the film's star, actor Josh Brolin, on the toilet with his pants down. Stone's film also features James Cromwell as Bush Sr. and Richard Dreyfuss as Dick Cheney. Film critic David Edelstein has this review.
You know things aren't going well for a Republican president when the best thing that happens to him in ages is a biopic by the famously left-wing Oliver Stone that depicts him not as reprehensible as Michael Moore has, but an earnest boy man with daddy issues. Stone's Bush doesn't grow in stature, but he means well. Let's give Stone points for trying to get into the head of W, played by Josh Brolin. The film is more effective for its measure of sympathy. As in his biopics of Nixon and Alexander the Great, Stone comes not to mock, but to dramatize the nexus of personality and great power. If nothing else, W is an honest effort. It's too bad it's lifeless, a rhythmless hash of flashbacks and tinny dialogue. Stone's focus is Oedipal. What he regards as Bush's downfall, the occupation of Iraq, is firmly rooted in W's relationship with his dad. It's an accepted thesis, predicted by Pete Hamill in an essay before W was even inaugurated. Hamill said he was sure Bush would find a reason to finish off Saddam Hussein. A son in rivalry with a father, Hamill concluded, can be a very dangerous man. The movie begins with planning for the Iraq invasion, then leaps back to show W in college after a drunken binge, getting sprung from jail by his father, known as Poppy, played by James Cromwell. Poppy repeatedly calls Junior a disappointment and draws unfavorable contrast with his brother Jeb. Allegedly, Jeb is in the movie. He's in the credits, but I don't recall him, so there's no juicy dialogue between the good and bad sons. And while Cromwell has a fine patrician presence, the film's notion of George H.W. is rather colorless. Brolin, though, holds the screen. Early on, he's shown cramming food into his mouth and swilling beer, self-indulgent and over-entitled. After Bush loses a race for Congress and has a born-again experience, Brolin suggests a man reeling in search of a self. In the White House, his Bush is engaged, eager to surpass his father, and angry when out of the loop. Here, the cabinet gets news from a security official that no WMDs have been found in Iraq. Scott Glenn is Donald Rumsfeld, and Richard Dreyfuss plays Dick Cheney.
Things weren't panning out the way we thought they existed. And your national security advisors should have gotten into this, gotten the details, and vetted them for you.
Mr. President, I think we're being overly negative in a situation where, indeed, we lack the metrics to judge the overall success of the global war on terror.
My office sent to you spy satellite photos that showed that WMDs could be hidden in caves that you never responded to.
We analyzed those photos, Mr. Vice President, and they are actually trenches, watering holes for cattle, not caves.
That's not what my people told me.
Mr. Vice, you grew up in Wyoming. You should damn well know cattle. I mean, there you go. You fooled me once, shame on you. Now fool me twice, and you can't get fooled again.
It's fun to see Dreyfuss as Cheney stick out his jaw and look at once direct and shifty. But that last speech, fool me once, is among the most legendary of all Bushisms and was uttered at a press conference. Stone gets a laugh by putting it in front of the cabinet, but it doesn't jibe with what people who've met Bush say, that in private, he's in control of his language. It's only before the public and press that he has trouble synthesizing talking points. Stone and the screenwriter, Stanley Weiser, don't get the difference between public and private speech, which is why Glenn's Rumsfeld and Jeffrey Wright's incessantly skeptical Colin Powell have no surprising idiomatic dialogue. The movie is all talking points. W isn't compelling enough as drama or witty enough to be satire. Diminutive Toby Jones is a diminutive Karl Rove with no evident relish for his job. And while Tandy Newton is a hoot as Condi Rice, she's a robotic yes woman, there's no hint of who this woman might be. It's hard to know what went wrong with W. Maybe Stone wants to change his image as a rabble-rouser and show his critics he has become more reflective and responsible. But his greatest attribute, and I say this as someone whose least favorite film of all time is Natural Born Killers, has always been a certain lusty, blowhard showmanship. In the midst of these tumultuous times, in the midst of this tumultuous election, Stone has delivered his shallowest, most tepid film.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.